Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many are glad you're here today? Amen. No place I'd rather be than here in His love. Amen. I need to mention, I forgot earlier, Pastor Shirley has a room-size rug and a small rug that she would like to see go to a good home. So if you are in need of a room-size rug, see her after church. All right? And she will hook you up. Amen. You just never know what blessings you might get at church, right? It pays to be here, doesn't it? It pays to be here. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so thankful for what an awesome time we had Sunday evening at Kakapin State Park with our baptism and picnic and swimming and games, and what a great time it was. Amen. Did you enjoy yourself out there? Hallelujah. We could not have ordered better weather or a more perfect evening. And what a blessing it was to look back across that beach and see it just filled with people and see that line just keep getting longer and longer as we began to baptize. And we baptized them from 2 to, I won't say how the oldest was, but from 2 years old and up, we baptized them. So, amen, that was exciting and such a fun time and such a presence of the Lord. Amen. The anointing and the presence of the Lord that we felt there and in that water, and as we baptized, and people making a new step, a new direction in their life, making their declaration, their testimony of the of what God is doing in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, you know, our baptism, we know, is a symbol. It's an outward sign of an inward work. It's a sign of us identifying with the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord, that we are buried with Him. And just as we are buried with Him, we are resurrected into new life. And aren't you glad for that? Glorious. Hallelujah. That old things pass away, and behold, all things become new in Christ. Hallelujah. So I hope you felt like a new creature this week, a new creation. Do we have any new creations in here today? How many can raise your hand and say, I'm not the same old person that I used to be? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I can raise my hand probably and say, I'm not the person I was 6 months ago or that I was a year ago. You know, as the Lord develops our life and as our desires and our knowledge and our wisdom expand, can anybody say you feel like you got a little more wisdom behind you than you did maybe early on? 2 or 3 people raising your hand. Where's the rest of the wise people in here today? You know, I pray daily for wisdom. Yeah. You know, as I was ministering to Caleb, I said to him, Caleb, when Solomon was about to lead the people, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for palaces. He didn't ask for kingdoms. He didn't ask for resources. He said, Lord, I ask you for wisdom to lead your people. Amen. And wow, is that my prayer every day. Lord, give me wisdom, not just knowledge. I mean, you can know a whole lot of things, but wisdom empowers you to use knowledge in a profitable way. Hallelujah. Right? Like, wisdom teaches you how to use knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world. Like, I can know things about you, but it takes wisdom to know how to speak it to you, to know how to declare it to you, how to open it to you. You know, we say even in teaching and things like that, we don't teach people what to think. We teach them how to think. And so we've got to learn to just teach people to think. Amen? To think. Sometimes outside of the sphere of your understanding, outside of the fear of your comfort zone. And, you know, to learn to think outside of our, you know, a realm of logistics and think on a level of faith. Amen? We have to learn how to live by faith, activate our faith, step into faith. Amen? And allow faith to be our guide or our guidance or our a system of power even. And so I thank God. I pray for wisdom. And not just wisdom. How many know it's not just spiritual wisdom? That's great. Amen. And I believe spiritual wisdom flows over into over to other areas of your life. I believe God can give you direction in jobs. I believe God can give you direction in finance. I believe he can give you direction in relationships and life decisions. Amen? Hallelujah. But wisdom also in knowing how to be, I need wisdom every day to know how to be a good mom or to be a good wife or to be a good nana, to be a good friend, a daughter, a sister. All of those things, wisdom and how to function in every area of my life. Amen? So I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for what was done, as I said last week, in our baptisms. I'm encouraged by what I feel like the Lord wants to do in this house in Word of Deliverance. Amen? And as we've been studying and sharing for the last, last several weeks, we've been talking a lot about discipleship. Amen? Everybody heard at least one sermon on discipleship here lately, and I love it because all those who are stepping up behind me and are teaching or speaking are still speaking out of some of those discipleship things, because I believe it's something the Lord is speaking to this house right here and right now. Amen? It's a now season, and so I believe God is shifting some things, and I believe God is putting some things in place, and I believe God is raising up generations of those come behind us. How many know it's not even just about my generations? But the scriptures of old said that the generations yet to come would rise up and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know we need the generations coming behind us to have wisdom, godly wisdom, to understand, to have knowing, to be empowered, to be educated, to know how to... How many know I'm counting on the next generation to run our country. I'm counting on the next generation to, get us to where we need in the next century. Amen. How many know we've got to plant now? You have to plant now for what you want to reap in the days to come. If you want to harvest, you got to start somewhere. Amen. And so the Lord has been speaking to us about living in houses we didn't build and vineyards we didn't plant and drinking out of wells we didn't dig. Thank God that we are where we are. Amen. Because somebody went ahead of us. Somebody did some planning. Somebody did some building. Somebody did some digging. That we could drink out of the wells we're drinking out of today. That we could eat from vines that we didn't plant and live in houses we didn't build. And I'm talking about spiritual houses. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Lord also said to me, there's a mandate on you to plant, to dig, and to build for those who are yet to come so that they will live in the same place and inherit the same things that you have inherited. Amen? How many know our kids need to know there will always be a place to come to find Jesus? That there needs to always be a house of prayer. You know, the girls do the song and the dance that they do, make me a house of prayer. How many know the power of prayer? How many know the power of prayer and are thankful for the power of prayer? Yeah. Hallelujah. How many know there's some that get serious kind of praying? Get serious kind of praying. Hallelujah. Where and most of the time in that get serious kind of praying, it's just coming to agreement with what you know God has already done, what all he's already paid for, and what he's already accomplished for you, and cashing in on what's been deposited in your account. Amen. Anybody ready to cash in on some things that's been deposited in your account? See, it can be in your account, but if you never draw it out, if you never make a withdrawal from what's in there, you'll live in a state of poverty, although there's been a deposit in your account because you don't access what's been deposited. Amen. So how many of you have had some deposit of the Holy Spirit in your life? Hallelujah. An impartation, a deposit of God that lives in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you to access the power of God. And how many know most of the time when we are struggling or we're having a hard time in our life, we forget to access or activate the power of the Holy Spirit. When's the last time when you were in a bad mood that you just start praying and speaking in tongues and just releasing the Holy Ghost out of you? Now, I didn't say foreign language. I said releasing the Holy Ghost. You understand where I'm saying? Come on. Hallelujah. And so, but what we do is in those times, we allow our emotions to speak louder than what we know is true of us. Amen? I'll just raise my hand right up here. That's me sometimes. Not every day. Hallelujah. But how many know there are sometimes you just, you know, the scripture the Lord spoke to me yesterday, just as I was kind of cleaning, I just catching up on stuff, spent a lot of time in my office, and he said, the scripture, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I want to tell you, there's sometimes when your heart becomes overwhelmed, your mind becomes overwhelmed, whatever it might be. And your mind goes to a place of crisis, and your heart becomes overwhelmed. The Psalm of Asaph said, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. How many know the confession of our mouth sometimes will overwhelm our spirit to a place where we are? He said, why are you cast down, my soul? I mean, the psalmist had to talk to himself. Anybody in here ever had to talk to yourself? What is wrong with you today? Why are you acting like this, you know? I mean, there's just some times when you say, you know, why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you disquieted? And you guys know the scripture, to be cast down means a sheep that's on its back with its feet up in the air, and he has fallen and he can't get up. Because of the shape of sheep and because of the wool that they have on them, they can get in a cast down position. And if left in that cast down position, they will die because they will starve or dehydrate until somebody can come along and nudge them and get them back up on their feet. Hallelujah. And so he'd say, why are you cast down, oh my soul? What are you doing laying on your back with your feet sticking up in the air? Next time you read that scripture, that's what that means. Why are you laying down on your back with your feet sticking up in the air? Hope thou in the Lord. Your hope is in the Lord this morning. It's not in people. It's not in family. It's not in finance. It's not in position. It's not in jobs. Your hope is in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the psalmist began to say, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. Hallelujah. But then I remembered my song in the night. Hallelujah. I remembered a song of rejoicing. I remembered that there's a key to bring me out of this. I remembered how powerful praise and worship is. I remembered some testimonies of old. I remembered some past victories. I remembered some things. Hallelujah. As they begin to remind himself of some past victories, and he can begin to remember how powerful his praise and worship was. How many know he drew himself out of a place? How many know he was the psalmist, Asaph? The lead musician, the great worshiper, said, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. The band wasn't in tune. Nobody brought their instruments to practice. You know, I mean, I don't know what happened. Did Asaph got so overwhelmed? But he was overwhelmed. Hallelujah. But when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. And so there is a place of comfort. There is a place of peace. There is a place of hope. Then even in the midst of struggles, circumstances beyond our control, I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded. Anybody persuaded in here? Anybody persuaded in here? Anybody convinced? I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to what? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you committed anything to him today? Yes. Come on, somebody. Have you committed anything to him? There's some things right now that I'm saying, Lord, I have committed this to you. I can't figure it out. I don't see the end from the beginning, but all I know is I'm going to take one step at a time, and I'm going to trust you every step of the way. Hallelujah. Because I am committing it to you, and your promise says you're able to keep what I have committed unto you. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we say we commit things to the Lord, and then in crisis we take them back. Remember I told you last Sunday, one of the worst things you can do in baptism is bury that dead man and then get up out of the water and strap him back on your back and take him back home with you. Amen? How many know there are some things you need to bury? You need to bury some unforgiveness. You need to bury some despair. You need to bury some discouragement. You need to bury some unbelief. You need to bury some fear. You need to bury some past failures. Hallelujah. You got to bury some guilt. You got to bury some regret. Anybody have to bury any of those things? Come on. Sometimes you have to bury them and don't dig them back up. Hallelujah. Because today's a brand new day in Christ. Every day's a brand new day. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. And the power of His Holy Spirit. So let's go to Colossians 3. I don't know how far I'll get there on that, on this scripture, but we'll start there. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Since then, I think King James might be say if, but NIV, I like how it says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, it says, since you have been raised with Christ. How many of you in here have been raised with Christ? Amen. You're buried with Him in baptism. You are resurrected into Him into new life. And we've buried those things. Old things have passed away. So since then that you are risen with Christ, set your heart, another translation says, or set your affections, the things you are affectionate with, the things you are, your heart, your emotions, set your heart on things, what? Above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. How many know you sometimes you just got to look up? Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to look up. If you didn't look up, you didn't see the rainbow yesterday. Amen. If you didn't look up, you probably didn't see the lightning last night. It was just going across the sky in such an amazing way. Hallelujah. If you don't look up, you're going to miss shooting stars. Amen. You're going to miss some things if you don't look up. Hallelujah. I'll never forget one year we had conference and we had some folks that came in from New York and they commented. They said, man, it is really dark here at night. Yeah. I couldn't understand what that mean. I'm like, dark is dark, right? But in the city, they were from the middle of New York City. And in New York, there's lights everywhere, right? Hallelujah. But here, we didn't have a lamppost. We didn't have, you know, we might have been doing good to have a dusk to dawn or a spotlight turned on. They said, man, it is really dark here at night. Hallelujah. But that is an atmosphere I'm not afraid of, per se. Because I grew up with tree frogs and the sounds of hoot owls and the sounds that you hear at night, amen? The crickets and all of those things, and I convinced myself all my life that there's nothing there in the dark that's not there in the light, right? Mostly. Except that occasional bear or mountain lion or, you know, whatever. But I convinced myself that it's not there. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to look up. Do you know that God's map is written in the heavens? If you literally will go back and look at even the constellations of the stars in the heavens and what they stand for and what they represent, even in the scriptures, how powerful. And then the scripture would say, but what is man? That you are mindful of him. That your mind is full of me. It's full of man. It's full of the one that you love. What is man that you're mind is full of them. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Hallelujah. How many, somebody say, look up. Look up. For you died. Your obituary has been in the paper. For you died, and your life is what? Now hidden with Christ in God. How many know that's what happens to us when we make our commitment to the Lord? We're buried with Him in baptism. For we have died, and our life is now hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, how many know He's not just a part of your life? There's not really a way you separate it. Amen? It's not just a part of your life. It's literally who we are. It's literally who we are made up to be, that we live out of that spirit of life inside of us. Amen? Who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Somebody say, I'm a used to. I'm a has been. I has been those things, but I'm not anymore. Amen. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You've been clothed with his righteousness. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? Kindness. I mean, no, sometimes you got to dress for success. You got to dress for success. You want success in your life, you got to dress for success. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, that's a powerful statement. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How many feel like you can forgive as he forgave you? I'm getting there. How many know his forgiveness is so all-empowering, all-encompassing. It's not dependent on my actions. It's dependent on his actions. How many know our forgiveness so many times depends on the action of others? We're waiting on them to be sorry, or we're waiting on them to know how they've wronged us, or to understand. How many know sometimes that doesn't ever happen? It just doesn't ever happen. But forgiveness is one of the best things you can do to release yourself from that bondage and that weight of unforgiveness that sets on your shoulders. Amen? Hallelujah. Because out of unforgiveness comes bitterness and disappointments and things like that. But how many know, as we learn to forgive as the Lord forgave you, how many know he forgave those who did not even ask? Forgiveness is available for those who haven't even asked. That when he said, but if I be lifted up, what? I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. And in other words, that everybody has access through the blood of the cross to be forgiven of their sins and to have that new life in Christ. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on what? Love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. How many know what allows us to operate out of all of these things that he's talking about is the empowerment of love? Hallelujah. And we're all working on that. Amen. I say sometimes, Lord, teach me to love.
I'm so glad because I at one time hated my dad.
Right.
And I even told him that if he ever hit mom again, I would kill him.
Yeah. And he begins to heal those things.
And if you forgive.
Yes.
And I ended up taking my dad in and keeping him the last years that he was alive. So I know the miracle working power of God in my heart.
The power of forgiveness.
Yes.
And the power of love that literally can change a situation that was destructive.
Absolutely.
And harsh.
Yes.
On both people involved.
Yes.
And ultimately God brings such a renewal.
Yes.
And such a peace.
Amen.
Through that. You know it's God. You know that that's God when God can work that in you. And so, you know, my prayer is, you know, Lord, teach me to love. Because if I do what I do out of love, then I won't be as disappointed or as discouraged when I don't see the results that I would like to see. Amen? And, you know, love does not necessarily always do what the other person needs to do. How many know there's such a thing as tough love? And they call it tough love for a reason, because it's tough. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a difference in empowering somebody to remain where they are or empowering them to stand up and say, today's a brand new day. You know, you have the ability. How many know we have to, I said the other Sunday, we got to quit blaming our parents, our generations, our circumstances, and everything in our life for why we are how we are. Because in this country, if you want it bad enough, you can have it. You can be it. You can conquer it. You can accomplish it. You can do it. Amen? You know, as I've watched the Olympics this week, I've seen people do things with the human body that I didn't know was possible. I mean, literally, I'm watching them thinking, I didn't know the human body could even do that. But how many know that takes discipline? It takes discipline. It takes desire. It takes drive. It takes training. It takes wanting it bad enough to put the time in to have it. Amen? I read a statement this morning, if I can find it here in my scratchings, that Michael Phelps said that he practices 6 to 8 hours a day. Most decorated Olympian of all time. Incredible swimmer. Has had some incredible difficulties in his life and has overcome those things and come back to still be an Olympia champion. But it said they showed a picture of him swimming in the night. At night, he was swimming, practicing swimming. And it said, it's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light, was a statement that they had put on there. It's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light. I mean, it's not always what people see about you that makes you powerful. Sometimes it's what they don't see about you. The hours you spend in preparation, the hours you spend in prayer, the hours you spend, you know, working behind the scenes to get where you are. How many know those are the things that put you in the light? Hallelujah, that people see you. And so it takes an incredible amount of discipline sometimes to do the things that we need to do. And how many know we must be driven by a desire to have better than where we are right now to make a change? Amen? You won't make a change unless you desire something greater than where you are right now. Hallelujah. And in this country, literally, if you want it bad enough, you can have it. Whether it be education, whether it be position. Amen? Hallelujah. That resources are there and opportunities are there and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? To even supersede those things. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I mean, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you. Hallelujah. What a treasure that peace is, to be able to have peace of mind, peace of heart. Amen? You can have everything in the world and not be at peace. You can have the greatest of everything and still not have peace of heart or peace of mind. Hallelujah. But let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. This is a key, I think, for living in a kingdom mentality, is to do whatever you do all as unto the glory of the Lord. In other words, that even when I am serving people, then I'm really doing it as a serving unto the Lord. And the people are the recipients of my service to the Lord. Does that make sense? So that even when I'm disappointed and the results or the response, I'm not discouraged I'm not discouraged or downtrodden, because what I'm doing as unto the Lord. Amen? How many know you can be a Mary or a Martha? Both sat at the feet, but one was cumbered about with much serving, where serving became a labor and serving became a struggle. How many know we serve the Lord? And out of response of discipleship, it's not just enough to be a believer or a convert, but a disciple serves. A disciple is trained. A disciple empowers. A disciple buys into what they've been taught. Amen? And so as we serve out of a heart, though. You know what? I am doing this as a ministry unto the Lord. And so my praise, my hope, and my happiness comes from that service, not from what I get back from people's praise or from their affirmation in my life. Hallelujah. How many know if you're looking for affirmation of people to keep you going, that's a very limited supply. Amen. Because sometimes that can be a very limited supply, but we do what we do as unto a service unto the Lord. Well, I don't feel like serving there, but I do love the Lord. And so out of love, I'm going to serve. Because even when I don't feel like it, God will use my service and my heart to change lives, to touch people, and ultimately will come back as a blessing to me. Now, we don't necessarily serve to get a blessing. We don't necessarily give to get a blessing. Amen? I believe we all should be givers. I believe we should all be tithers. I believe we all should be partakers in the furthering of the gospel. Amen? But I don't give just to be to get a blessing. I give to be a blessing, and I give because we're blessed to bless. We are dispensers of His blessing and of His glory. And what happens when we dispense His blessings and His glory, He can't help but pour back in us, and then I have more to dispense and to give because of the blessings that just overtake you. I can't tell you how it works, but I can tell you it does. I can tell you this little barefooted country girl has went farther and done more things in my life than I ever thought was possible. Yeah. Amen. That I would sit on this hill barefooted and playing house with my sisters and wheelbarrows as chairs and sleds as couches. And we would dream about houses and we would dream about people who actually went places. And went off of this hill because my mom didn't even drive a car for many, many years. And so we felt like we lived on Gilligan's Island all by ourselves, you know. And we kind of built Gilligan's Island around us. We made our own houses and our own play stuff. And we didn't have doll houses and things like that. But we sat on this hill and dreamed about places like cruise ships, tropical islands, or just going to McDonald's. There wasn't a McDonald's in Berkeley Spring when I grew up. Can you imagine that? Everybody under 18. We made it all through our childhood without McDonald's. My mom made homemade bread every day. We were abused children. We had to eat homemade bread every day. We couldn't even buy that Stroman's or Wonder Bread. But we dreamed of things. We had dreams. We had hopes. Sure. Hallelujah. And so the riches and the goodness of God, I can stand some days and just take my head and say, God, I said this to God this week. I said, God, you are just too good to me. You are just too good to me. The blessings of our life, the blessings, sometimes the things that cause us our most stress are our blessings because we're trying to keep up with everything we think we can't live without. Amen. And how many know the things sometimes that can then pluck your last nerve, the things sometimes that can pluck your last nerve are the things that you love the most, or else it wouldn't pluck your last nerve. If you didn't love them, you could move on. Amen. And so the blessings of God in our life, and I'm sure, and you know, look, we all have struggles. We all have disappointments. All of that, you know, I understand that, and I'm not minimizing any of that. But, you know, Sister Bernadine and I were saying, she said, I have good days and I have bad days. Anybody identify with that? And I said, but most of the time, even our bad days are good days. I'm still breathing. I'm still moving. I still have health care available to me. I have people around me who love me that even on a bad day, amen, Sister Bernadine, even on a bad day when that back isn't doing what it needs to do, we are still so blessed. The goodness of God in our life is still so rich and so good. Hallelujah. That if we'll live out of the empowerment of that, God, you have blessed me to be a blessing. Hallelujah. And so we, amen. We you can't outgive God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, the scripture says one plants. Amen. One plants, another waters. Her pastor painted her bathroom. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. The boys have plumbed it and Thank God. Amen. For his blessings. But you know, even on our bad days, our worst days, we're still blessed. And still, if we can lift our eyes and say, Lord, you know your blessings in my life, you know, and it's his grace that is sufficient to us. And I don't know, we could probably skip this verse and go down to something more interesting. But just kidding. It says, wives, submit your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now listen. Wives, I'll say it twice. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. That's an amen that back there from my honey. But it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. How many know women will not have trouble submitting if a husband rules out of love? Those two verses cannot be separate. They cannot be separated from each other. Husbands, if you will love your wife as Christ loved the church, she'll have no trouble submitting because love empowers you. It doesn't challenge you. It doesn't make you envious or jealous, but love will empower you to submit. And not just to your husband in natural, but to our husband in the Lord. I mean, as the bride of Christ, we don't have any trouble submitting to him because we have a husband who rules out of love. Aren't you glad that? That our husband who is Jesus, we operate out of an empowerment because we operate out of a love of a husband to a wife. And so then there's not a struggle in submission because love is the ruling factor. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Hallelujah. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. You know, it's the things that you do when nobody's looking that really marks your character and your integrity. It's the things you do when nobody's looking that really marks who you are. Not when the attention of everybody is on you and you do the right thing, but the things you do in secret. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. How many know there is an inheritance from the Lord? Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. So is the reading of Colossians chapter 3. But he begins by saying, since you be risen with Christ, set your affection, set your heart, set your mind on things above, heavenly things. Be heavenly minded. Be heavenly conscious. Not on the earthly things, not on the earthly realm. Hallelujah. How many know in the scriptures, well, he's given us all this admonition and understanding the power of the cross, the work of Jesus, and all of that. How many know that's what the disciples began to preach? The scripture I was thinking about this morning, and I don't know if we'll go there or not, but it's out of Acts chapter 2. But how many know after they understood the death, burial, and resurrection. He said to them, he said, go to the upper room until you be endued with power on high. And how many know we know that the coming of the Holy Spirit came? And the scripture says they spoke in tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance, and they were heard of every man in their own language. And we talked about that the other Sunday, about how many know some of us, it's not just about your prayer language or the speaking in tongues part, but also that we are communicators of the gospel and that everybody understands it in their own language. How many know we sometimes use a lot of cliches and we use a lot of phrases and things like that, and you think sometimes to someone who does not understand what we're saying, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, and so being able to speak a language that speaks to people on their level where they can hear and understand and see and experience the power of God. See, it's not just about what you say. It's about what you act out of. It's about the spirit that you walk in. And our lives are open Bibles. They're living epistles known and read of all men. Hallelujah. So if we are an open book or an open epistle known and read of all men, is your story a comedy? A horror story? A romance? History? What is it? What is it that we're portraying? Because see, it's not, to me, it's not just about the words, because if there's nothing more than this and just another religion, another act to follow, another formula to go through, then it's not different than any other religion. But it's got to be an encounter of the presence of the Holy Spirit that you know, that you know, that you know. Hallelujah. Something that you can feel, something that you can experience, something you can just say, I just know that I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I just know that God is with me, that his presence is with me, and that I can see out of the results of what I feel and what I know, that I can see the demonstration of the change that's taking place in our lives because of what's been done in an inward man. Amen? There has to be an expression outside of going through a formula, saying the right these and thous, that makes our life worth living and says, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That sweeter gets the journey every day. Hallelujah. That it's just an encounter. It's a presence. So that when Peter began to stand up on the day of Pentecost and he preached to them, and it says they were pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? You know, what should we do here? He said, repent and be baptized for the remissions of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many know it's a gift that you can receive, the gift of the Holy Ghost? It's accessible to you. There's no tricks to get it. It's not a formula you go through. You receive it. Hallelujah. And he began to preach and to declare that message. And it said, and they continued in the apostles' doctrines, in the breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayer. And I think those are four key things in our discipleship mentality and understanding and training, as that we continue in the apostles' doctrines, and the breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayer. I mean, those are factors in our life that are important to us, that cause us to be empowered, that cause us to live victorious lives. Hallelujah. And you know that when we do come in and we feel like we've just been, someone has pulled the plug out of our gallon jug and everything has drained out, I mean that somebody else can pour back into you and fill you back up. Hallelujah. Because how many know we are blessed to be a blessing? The fellowship is important. I mean, what was the apostles' doctrine? We get all worked up over, well, what's your doctrine? What's your background? What's your theology? What organization are you with? How many know there was no titles in the scriptures? There's no such thing as Kingdom, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, all of those things. Those came as organizations later. How many know when they said that they followed in the apostles' doctrine? What was the apostles' doctrine? What did they teach? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That when Peter went down to the house of Cornelius, he said he just preached Jesus and the Holy Ghost fell. And when the Holy Ghost falls, you don't have to make it happen. He makes it happen. Hallelujah. So they continued in the preaching of the cross, in the breaking of the bread, coming together in fellowship. Hallelujah. In fellowship and in prayer. Hallelujah. Let our prayers be unto God. How many know those things are important? They're powerful. When we come together in the house, we break bread together because we show the Lord's body. Isn't that what Jesus did in the upper room at the Last Supper? He broke bread with them, and we showed the Lord's body. We present the Lord's body. This is my body that was broken for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. When we come together, we're breaking bread together. Hallelujah. Now, I love the breaking of the real bread and the fellowship. Hallelujah. We were out there Sunday and looked at them tables, and we just had to keep moving to another table. The food was just kept coming in. We just had to keep moving it down and moving it down. And then we even had folks out there that come up and said, can we buy a plate of food from you? I said, absolutely not. I said, get in line. No food for sale here. We got enough to feed a whole nother half of this park. Just get in line. Hallelujah. And so they did. And it was a blessing to be able to share with those who were out there who just were hungry and needed a plate. And thank you for your generosity and your giving in that. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, if you give a cup of water in my name, hallelujah, if you give a cup of water in my name, how powerful that is. And what he said, and the point I want to close with, I'm almost done. The point I want to close with is, and they said, and they daily they added souls to the kingdom. Now, one of the mandates I want to leave you with this morning is, we still have that mandate. And they were adding souls to the kingdom. Never, ever, ever lose your desire or your calling for winning souls into the kingdom. How many know sheep breed sheep? Sheep reproduce sheep. If we want to see God do miraculous things in our town, if we want to see God save people, bring people into this house, we've got to go ye into all the world. Go ye into Berkeley Springs, Martinsburg, Hagerstown, Winchester, Frederick, wherever you are. Go ye and make disciples. How many know that's still a mandate? Find somebody this week, today, find somebody this week, this month, this year, find somebody. Hallelujah. And make disciples. Win souls. Tell them about the goodness of Jesus. Just tell them what's working for you. You know, I've said for years, if what you've got's not working for you, don't export it. But if it's working, your testimony of what God has done in you is the greatest empowerment you have. One of the greatest things about you is, let me tell you my story. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you my story, because I can only tell you what I've experienced. And then you get to experience it for yourself. Amen. But go ye and make disciples. And it said, and daily there was added to the souls were added to the kingdom. We need to have a desire for souls to be added to the kingdom, not just so that these pews are filled, and that's awesome. Not just so the budget goes up, and that's awesome. We can only do with what we have. But that lives are changed. Our communities are changed. That the needy are being reached out to, not just needy in finances or needy in food, but needy in spirit. Hallelujah. That God will change people's lives. I want to see lives changed for the glory of God. Don't you? Amen. I want to see people live better lives. I want to see people have hope in their life. I want to see people made a change. I've seen God make supernatural changes in people's lives. Set them free from addictions, from alcoholism, from disease, and things like that. But I want to see it more. How about you? I want to see it more. Hallelujah. And so God, make us instruments. Hallelujah. Make us instruments to those around us that souls are added to the kingdom, that lives are changed, hearts are touched for your glory. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your empowerment, Lord. Thank you for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, it's as good a day as any to experience Him. Amen? And it's as simple as saying, Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Make my heart your home. Let me be a tabernacle. Hallelujah. You don't even have to say all that. Say, Lord, just come into my heart. And He does. And live your life through me. Hallelujah. And He does. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's yours for receiving. You just receive it. Lord, I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. He begins to flow through you and minister through you. Hallelujah in that. Let's just give Him some praise this morning while the children are coming. If you have a special need or something that you need us to agree with you this morning, our altars are always open here.